Hello and welcome to the Roll Bravely podcast, a live play Pathfinder 2nd edition tabletop role-playing game where five friends bravely roll dice, battle imaginary monsters, and solve pretend problems. I am your game master, Charles Renault. Before we get into the action, let me introduce you to the table of wonderful players that we have. And guys, look, we know how these shows start. Everybody goes around the table. They talk about their experience. They talk about their knowledge and how long they've been in the scene. They talk about their bona fides, the things that make them experts. But I feel like audiences can figure that out. They'll listen to the show one time, and they will know that we are not them. Not who we are, right? We are tabletop players who have some varying degrees of experience, and we've played a lot of systems, but this is really kind of our first shot at a full-length Pathfinder campaign. We did open just to get a basic level of familiarity with the box set, and we ran a portion of another adventure, so the characters coming into this game will be second level, but we are relative newbies. And with that, I'd like to move on to introducing the actual players themselves. The man who finally answers the age-old question, what if Bigfoot had sex appeal? Mr. Kenny Whittington.
Hey, everybody. That's a hell of an intro, but I'll take it.
Yeah, who are you playing? What's your class?
So I'm playing Amaris. He is a human tiefling. Ranger.
Nice. You know, you are one of the primary reasons that I wanted to play Pathfinder instead of D&D.
That I wanted to fuck Bigfoot.
That is... we'll clean that up in post. That is not an actual fantasy of mine. Deeply rooted fantasy of mine. No, it's because I was so tired of how many variations of a rogue multiclass that I had to find a game that didn't have multiclassing. I had to find something different to do.
It works for me. Ranger, apparently Ranger's a lot better in Pathfinder, so I'm down to try it. That's where I actually started in D&D, so everybody said it sucks. I enjoyed it, but let's see how it goes in Pathfinder.
Nice. Nice. Up next, Sammy Salazar. We've been friends for a couple of years through Kenny and playing these games. We played off and on for, 3-4 years now?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so tell everybody...
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Tell everybody who you're playing and your class.
I am playing Taz, who is a goblin... is a alchemist. Yeah, that's it.
Nice. Now, I know that you're like part of a band, so I don't know if you want to give them a little plug, a little shout out. I know all of our mothers
fuck
will
those guys.
Probably be dying to hear them.
Yeah, shout out to my band Barfai Grande. If anyone wants to listen to that, go find it.
Check it out. It's pretty cool. Up next, we have Michelle. Now, Michelle, we've also played in a few games together. You played I think the first game I played with you, you played a dwarf cleric who was extremely xenophobic against goblins and loved violence. Then we played Shadowrun. You played a dwarf again who was an alcoholic and looking for a good time. And tonight you're playing what are you playing tonight?
I'm playing an elf Damphir investigator.
So a bloodthirsty dwarf cleric, a alcoholic dwarf mage, and a bloodthirsty vampire character. Do you play characters that aren't entirely based on your own personality? Or
I play No.
No, pretty much
just parts of me.
Nice, awesome. But you're a big fan of like horror movies and that genre, right? Like you are.
Yes.
You've done some acting, some writing, even some directing, right? So.
Yeah. Well, in my classes, but yes, I've dabbled in all of that.
Cool. I think that's good experience that you bring to the table. It'll be fun to see how that plays out.
Oh, and my name is Wesley Nixon. I forgot to start that off. That's my character's name.
Last but not least, Zach, you want to tell us who you're playing and class, anything like that?
Yeah, I'm playing Taldir, who is the Tui. It technically is a champion, but it's basically a paladin or paladin light, if you will.
Nice. And we played in some games before as well, so everybody here is kind of familiar with each other, and I think it's gonna be great. Like, that said, do we want to just jump right in, or?
Hell yeah, let's do this shit.
Yeah.
All right. Several days ago, each member of our party joined the caravan of one Falk Cloudfang, merchant and proprietor of Cloudfang Consortium, a large and successful general goods store in the City of Hope's Embrace, a boomtown on the edge of the Almirian Desert. For some, this is a journey home. For others, this is the first chapter of a new adventure. Regardless of your purpose or reason for traveling to the frontier of human civilization, you now find yourself embroiled in danger much sooner than you could have anticipated. Let's all go ahead and roll for initiative.
Ruh-roh.
I am ready when you are, so who wants to be first?
I'll go first. If we're just voting.
With your...
I vote against you to not go first.
Oh, interesting.
I second, but which one do I second?
Yeah,
initiative
either...
by public fiat.
What you got, Zach?
19.
19 for Taldir.
Still second fiddle. 20 for Amaris.
Oh, my.
Dang.
19, 20 for Amaris.
18 for Taz.
18 for Taz.
I remember where initiative is, so just give me a second.
It's the
to find it. Perception? Is that the one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. 14 plus 7. 15, 16, 17,
18, 19,
20,
21. Making me do math.
It's 14, obviously. 7. That's stupid.
7 times 3.
All right. So we fade back in, and when we do, we see a bright, hot sun blazing in a cloudless, near-white sky. We pan down to see the sandy desert, spotted with sparse vegetation and dotted by steeps and mesas. Steps? I think it's steps.
Yeah, it is.
Steps and mesas, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. As we descend, our attention is drawn toward three wagons racing across the desert surface. Several men on horseback chasing after them. As we get closer, the sound of shouting can be heard, muffled by the rhythmic beating of horse hooves and the turning of wagon wheels. We settle finally on the face of a thin, elderly man, hard and sun-leathered. He shouts, "Yeah!" and whips the reins. We pull back slightly to see a tall, strong-looking man in his middle years seated beside the driver. Zach, you want to describe Taldir for us?
Yeah, he's a tall, strong-looking man in his middle years.
Nailed it!
But yeah, he's got, like, longish hair that's kind of unkempt. He's wearing, like, hide armor. He has a hammer on his belt and a shield on his back. And he's wearing, like a cloth cloak over that, but it's, like, kind of frayed and old and, like, obviously in, like... Like, it's old. Like, it looks like a hand-me-down at best. And he's got, like, scars kind of everywhere. Like, a big scar across his face. And his eyes are... uniquely kind of golden, almost lizard-like looking. They've got like the diamond or slit pupil, and they're like a bright yellow.
Nice. So we pull back slightly from there to the second wagon, which is being driven currently by a middle-aged dwarf with just this long braided red beard that kind of rests on the curve of his belly. He's similarly kind of like whipping the horses, and seated next to him is Wesley, who we've already met. And then we pull back to the final wagon and see two individuals seated on the box of the wagon. The box of the wagon is the name for the seat. I didn't know that. I had to look it up.
Box seat.
Yeah, I guess so. One is a young human male with the hints of youth still about him, and the other is a goblin who's, I think, maybe roughly middle-aged, or a goblin anyway. Do you want to start? Just go ahead and describe Amorous for us.
Sure. Amorous is kind of small in stature. He's about 5'7", about 17 years old. Looks a little bit like Michael J. Fox. Got a little Back to the Future vibe going on there. He's dressed in mostly brown. He's got like a tunic with a cloak. Carries a bow on him and some other things that the cloak does a good job of hiding. He has a very poor stubbly beard, but he's trying.
Working it out. I get that. I have a 15-year-old son. He's also trying.
Looks like you are, too.
Hey. Hey. Sam, you want to go ahead and describe Taz for us?
Yeah, so Taz is, yeah, about 8 years old. Green skin. He has, a backpack with all kinds of like trinkets, vials that are hanging off. He has two books that are strapped, one high to the left of his chest, one kind of down towards like almost holstered. He has a dagger on him that's made from a tooth of some kind of animal. It has a little bit of sap and some other like twine wrapped around it as the handle. He has a mohawk that is unintentional. The left side of his face is severely burned. He's missing both his ears are pointy, but his left one has like been burnt completely off to like almost a nub. And the left side of his face, from what you can see, is pretty tight just from like the severe burn. And yeah, it's Taz.
All right. So for a podcast that hopes to help people understand how to play Pathfinder, we are going to start in just legitimately the worst possible way, because we are starting with a mini game of my own creation, which is loosely based on the chase rules and the vehicle rules found in the GM core. So if you listen to it and you go look them up and think, wow, they really did that wrong, just fucking keep it to yourself, because it's a different thing. Anyway, we will start in initiative order. We do have a map. It is a static map, so you guys, I'll put you over here on roll 20, which we are using for our virtual tabletop. And really, its only purpose is to give you guys an idea of positioning and where things are. So, Taldir, you are up here in the front cart, the second cart. Wesley, you are there. And then Taz and Amorous, you are both in the third cart. I kind of imagined that Amorous was driving for whatever reason. I figured Taz might be fiddling with something. I don't know. But which one of you wants to be driving the cart currently?
I think it makes more sense for Taz to drive since I've got ranged tech. You good with that?
Yeah, sure. I'll do it.
Okay, so the way this game functions is we start at the top of the initiative order. Each of the players goes first. The pursuers go at the end. They kind of work all at once to keep it short and hopefully relatively tight. You have a choice to make several actions, which I've thrown in the chat to for your reference. You can either attempt to drive the cart, which will affect your end of turn DC. You can attempt to board either another wagon or a horse from one of the pursuers. Really, anything that you choose. Just let me know how you want to run it, because I like to be pretty open with these kind of things. You can perform the run over action, which in this instance is essentially like trying to kind of ram one of the pursuers with your wagon. You can also take control of the wagon, so if you choose to make an attack, Taz, you can do that. But then you will have to take an action to either take control of the car or the wagon again. Amaris will have to take control of the wagon, or it will suffer a penalty to the end of turn check. You can also take the attack, any attack action that is normally available to you, you can perform. At the end of the round, we will make a check against the adjusted target DC, which only I know. A success will result in 1 point. A critical success will result in 2 points. Failure in no points. And a critical failure, well, let's just find out when it happens. The chase will end when you either clear all of the obstacles or all of the pursuers are either defeated or otherwise prevented from pursuit. Are there any questions before we get started?
Yeah, you said that the attackers go after. Is that because of the way that they rolled in initiative, or is that how that works in Pathfinder?
Yeah, that's a typical chase. That's part of the chase rules from Pathfinder.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so typically the players act first, and then so typically Pathfinder anticipates that you're chasing someone rather than them chasing you, but we're kind of turning it up a little bit.
And now you know.
And now you know. Who is first in initiative? Looks like Wesley, you are first. You're in the second cart, kind of like bumping along this like desert trail, just as the dwarf is like, "Hiya, hiya!" And he's just gonna like turn to you and he's like, "Well, fucking do something." What are you gonna do?
We're this right here, right? Correct.
Yeah. Yes.
We're the. Yep. I want to take charge.
You're going to take over the car?
Yes, that's what I'd like to do.
All right. So you go to rip the reins out of the hands of the dwarf. Go ahead and make a flat check. Sorry, you can add your nature bones to that, not a flat check.
Okay, 12.
12 total. Awesome. So you are able to successfully take control of the vehicle, and that will adjust your DC down. All right, next up, who do we got? Amaris.
Can I get what do these guys look like, or gals?
Yeah, you kind of see them, and they're just riding these like kind of dusty brown, kind of mangy looking horses. They're covered like head to toe in like kind of a like leather armor. They've got like masks across their face, kind of the, like a desert sort of like cowl covering their head. They look like bandits.
Well, there you go. That's enough for me. I will pull the bow out of my lap, and is there one that looks like maybe the leader? I mean, it looks like they're ordering anybody else around.
I'll give you a perception check for free on that.
21.
21. Explicitly, no. They seem to be operating on a like a pre-planned pattern.
All right. Then I will take the one that's up to the left of the middle cart.
Okay, go ahead and make that shot.
I forgot to do my things. That's a miss. That's a 3 plus... lost it. 3 plus 7 for a 10.
3+7, so it is a miss, but it is not a critical miss. Go ahead and make a make an acrobatics check.
All right, I'll throw that dice away. +7 for a 17.
So you stand to take the shot, and you're kind of like wobbling on the cart because it is really uneven. This is a road in the loosest sense of the word. It is basically nature, but you are able to keep yourself righted. You are totally fine, and we will move on to Taldir.
So, just to be clear on the map, we are the wagons, and they are the horses.
They are the horses.
Okay. So, what? It's not explicitly on the or one of the actions that you laid out, but like, can Taldir like stand up and get in the back of the wagon?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So he wants to do that. Oh, actually, wait. I don't know if I can do it. Is readying an action two actions? Yeah, it is.
I believe so, yeah.
Shit balls.
Okay, then he won't get in the back of the wagon. He will draw his shield. And he'll tell the guy actually driving. He'll be like, bring us around, get us next to him. And then he wants to ready an action that when, assuming this guy follows his kind of command or whatever, as he's passing one of the horses, he wants to try and shield bash him.
Okay, cool. So you're going to ready your action to shield bash when somebody gets close enough.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Next, we have Taz. Taz, go ahead.
We're surrounded. Like, look, I see we're surrounded. Looks like they're kind of gaining on our little carriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just going to yell fucking, yeah! I'm going to try to go make these horses go faster.
All right, make that drive check. Add your nature bonus. Let me know what you get.
Where the hell is it?
Like, oh. Roughly in the middle of skills.
Oh, found it. 17 total.
17 total. Yeah, you're able to, you like whip the horses and they're just like, they continue like pulling around. You guys are entering into a slot canyon. It's relatively narrow, but not like crazy. The horses have some room to maneuver, but as you kind of like pull in, let me roll the first check. Okay, so the bandits currently flanking Wesley's caravan, one of them kind of like pulls in a little closer. This one actually manages to come up, and I'll say he gets close enough to trigger your reaction, Zach.
Okie dokes. I thought a shield bash would push them, but it doesn't appear that that's the case, so it's just a basically just swinging at them with my shield. If I crit, it does push them. But yeah, anyways. So I shall roll and get a critical. I'm going to get a critical. That's not a critical, but it should be a hit. 19.
19. Yep. Go ahead and roll the damage on that.
6 points of demugus.
6 points of damage. All right. So you managed to like bash your shield into this horse, or this bandit, as it approaches you, and you see he's kind of like reaching over to aim a crossbow at you, and you just like lean in and smash into him, and he goes flying. The horse like gets skittish, pulls away. He falls from the saddle and just like bounces off of like stones on the ground as you enter into this canyon. That is exactly where he is at. So I rolled all their other checks while you were taking that reaction. So this one is going to make it. Yeah, he's going to try to come up to like the side here and stay on the side. This one comes up here, and this one makes it all the way up here. This guy doesn't make any ground at all. The one that is near you, Wesley, he's going to take a shot at you with a crossbow. You're going to get a 2-point bonus to your AC because he's still a little behind. Not quite. That's a 7 plus 5. That's a 12 to hit?
No.
12 does not hit. Okay. This one here is going to take a shot at, let me see, Even Amaris. Take a shot at Taz. A 12 to hit?
No.
I bought new dice for this, though.
I like them.
Yeah, keep using them.
Keep rolling them, yeah.
Oh my god, they need to turn it around. This guy's going to take a shot at Amaris real quick. Oof, that's going to be a 19 to hit.
No. No, I'm just going to get that.
All right, that's 3 points of damage to Amaris as the crossbow ball just kind of like grazes your arm. That is their turn. We are back to the... Oh, so now we make the end of the round check. So anybody who is driving a wagon right now, go ahead, roll a d20, and let me know what your result is.
Are we adding anything on it, or just roll?
Flat check.
18.
You can delete this, but... did everybody make sure they reset their health? Because mine wasn't.
Yes, dude, we're not noobs here. We're professionals.
Yeah. This is a business, Kenny. Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
You're clocked in right now, dude.
Get it together,
those Miller
man.
High Lifes, man.
I didn't have any of those today.
You worked in the yard all day, sir.
I got a 13 on my check.
13, 8.
Mine was 18.
13 and 18, sorry. 13 and 18. So that is going to be both successes. Taldir, the cart that you're on, because I'm rolling it with my brand new shitty dice, apparently. It does, like, hit a rock, and just the wheel bounces, and you hear it just, like, start to strain. The wagon takes 5 points of damage, but is otherwise totally fine right now. Michelle, that was actually a critical success. Your D was 8 based on your successful drive check. So that's 2 points from you, 1 point from Taz and Amaris, and we move to the top of the next round, which I believe means Michelle again.
Wesley.
Yes. Wesley. Yes. Call me Nixon. Just kidding, call me Wesley.
Only last names.
I would like to... Okay, so my eyes get black. All black. And then I use strategic strike against this dude right here. To the right of our cart, yeah.
Okay.
And... Sorry, my laptop froze. Show yourself. Over. Is he close enough for me to get with my short sword?
I'll say you can attack his horse.
Yes, I'll do that.
Of course you will. Fucking hates animals.
All right, so with strategic strike, it's an additional 1d6 damage.
Nice. Now, wait, do you have to...
You have to do the devise a strategy first.
devise a stratagem, which is totally fine. You can. I mean, you do have... So it may not be clear, but you have your full action economy. Those are just the actions specific to making, like, drive movements, right? So anything you can normally do, you can do. You have your three actions. So if you want to devise a stratagem, you totally can.
Okay, wait, I have to do devise a stratagem in order to use strategic strike?
I believe so.
Yeah, you have to devise a stratagem successfully, and then...
Well...
What?
I mean, I know what you're saying. Devise a stratagem technically isn't a success or failure, right? It just gives you the d20 result on your next attack roll.
Yeah, but you have to hit with that roll.
Right, yes.
And then when you make the strike using that roll, you can use your strategic strike.
So the only thing that changes is it just takes two actions. So just roll the d20 and add whatever you normally add, and then you probably will have an idea of whether it hits or not.
But what you normally add is different with Devise a Stratagem because 20. It uses your intelligence instead of your dex or strength.
That's true. So your intelligence may even be... Oh, you rolled a nat 20. Doesn't even matter.
Oh.
Nat 20 plus six.
Are you going to take that shot at the horse?
Yes. I want my fangs to come out, my eyes to be all black.
Go ahead and do it.
I'm about to kill this fucking horse. I forgot that goblins hate horses.
Oh, yeah, they do. They're terrified of them.
No, not necessarily. The horses are terrified of goblins, so they attack us. That's why we hate them.
Goblins got little, like, horse choppers or whatever, like one of their weapons.
Yeah. So I was just reading that right now, and I was like, oh, shit. And dogs.
Yeah.
So I got to lean into that.
Horse.
Like I have the reins, but I'm like trying to choke him at the same time. Yeah.
Here comes Peta for Taz.
Taz just has no problem driving these horses hard. It's like, yeah, you son of a bitch.
Peta needs to go after Pathfinder. They're the ones writing this shit.
What is happening?
I'm merely an actor. Actor.
I am an actor.
I am but a vessel.
My screen went all black. I got 10.
I like that fantasy horses are fantasy bigoted. That's weird.
Did you double all your dice, Michelle?
Double them? No, I only. Why would I double them? Oh, because
you critted.
Yeah, because you critted.
You did nat 20.
It's 2, 3, so 13 total.
And you double
13 total.
You double the extra D6 you get too.
Everything. All the dice.
All the
five.
Dice.
18?
Five.
18.
Ooh, see that fast math?
And in Pathfinder, correct me if I'm wrong, you even double your bonus.
Yes, but she won't have a bonus because it's a dex weapon, not strength.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so 18 total as you lean out with your short sword and take a swipe at it. You cut this fucking horse's head off. Like, the horse just, like, samurai style, falls into two pieces, stumbles into the dirt, sending his rider just, like, careening into the wall of the canyon ahead of you.
I like to grab my sword and lick it.
Nice. Entirely based on yourself. Now, I don't normally want to remind people, but it's the first episode and we're doing something kind of weird. So you are not currently in control of the wagon. Are you going to use your last action to retake control, or are you going to let the dwarf try to handle it?
I will give it back to the dwarf. Here you go, sir. And then...
No problem, Lasse!
And then I just like to ready myself for the horse on the other side.
Nice. All right. So that is Wesley's turn, and we are on to Taldir, correct?
No, Amherst.
Oh, Amherst. Apologies.
No worries.
Too many screens.
So I'm going to cast Gravity Weapon. So to cast that, it's somatic. It lasts 1 minute. You build up a gravitational force and funnel it into your blows, leading to a more leading to more powerful attacks with the blade and bow alike. On your first weapon strike of each round, you gain a status bonus to damage equal to twice the number of weapon dice damage die. I'm going to cast that.
Nice.
And then I'm going to use Hunt Prey.
Okay.
So you designate a single creature as your prey and focus your attacks against that creature. You must be able to see or hear the prey. You gain a plus two circumstance bonus to perception checks and... Oh, to survival. Hang on. Where's the good stuff? Ignore the penalty for making range attacks within your second range increment. Where is it? There's something good here. Hang on.
No worries.
All right, so I did the gravity weapon. I'm not going to do Hunt Prey after all, but I will take an attack at the horse that's right in front of... or not the horse, the rider right in front of me.
Okay. See, somebody has a conscience and a moral compass, so go ahead and make that attack.
That's a 15 for a 23.
23 is definitely going to hit. Roll damage.
22. Sorry, 22. I can do math. That's a 4 plus 2. Nope. Damn it. Nope. Sorry. Wrong. Looking at the wrong weapon. That's a D8.
We're so Ooh. Fucking good at this.
Got a fucking 8.
And, 8 on a D8.
And then to add the gravity weapon, I believe it was double the damage die. So you add 2 to that? Because I'm only rolling 1 die.
Oh, right. Double the number of dice you roll. So yeah, 2.
All right, so 10 total.
10 total, yeah. You stand, take the shot. The arrow goes right through the rider's back. You see him kind of like lurch up like, and fall from his horse. He is also done.
Okay. There's and then right. With my last action, I'll take the reins from Daz.
Okay. So Amorous takes the reins from Taz.
And I'll tell Taz, I'm like, you're getting that look in your eye again there, buddy. I'll take those.
All right.
Just grinding my teeth.
Which works out because it's not Taz's turn yet. It's Taldir's turn, though. What is Taldir going to do?
Second verse, same as the first. He's going to tell him to try to get alongside, tell the person driving to try and get alongside the remaining enemies and ready an action to fucking shield slam them.
Okay. Ready an action to shield slam them. Let me go ahead and I'll start rolling their thing. But Taz, I think that makes it your turn for now.
All right, so Amorous takes the... How close are we before we get into, like, this... I'm assuming it's, like, getting narrow, right?
Yeah, I mean, you are, like, going through this canyon. You can see the other side. It's relatively consistent. You are probably about two-thirds of the way at this point.
Okay. All right, so I'm just going to... stand up onto the top of the carriage, like climb my way up. I don't know how tall it is, if I would need an action to do that. Just like make my way up to get a better shot.
Okay. Go ahead and make an acrobatics check. Or athletics, I'll let you roll what's better for you in this circumstance.
Crafting is better, but...
Craft a step stool?
25.
25, you're gold.
All right, so get to the top. And then I will, yeah, I'm just going to light that horse up with a fire bomb.
Wait, the riderless horse or which one?
No, yeah, the horse. What if it, Yeah, I'm going after the horse.
The horse, of
just
course.
The horse. Fuck that horse.
Hero point.
Hero point.
Yeah, that was a one.
Oh, that's right. We may revisit it at some point, but remember, we have decided that we are awarding hero points on natural 20s. So, Michelle, remember to take yours.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. And?
Did we decide that we are not using them back to back, or we are allowing the usage of them back to back?
I honestly am okay with that. I don't think that it changes the math all that much, and I don't think that because I'm terrible at math and don't know much about it.
I feel like it probably does change the math quite a bit.
Well, I don't know. Like, how many times have we rolled it back to back and fumbled multiple times in a row?
Yeah,
I mean, it hasn't been helpful.
If you roll
like
Zach, I mean, yeah. Jesus, yeah. You can.
Like, I'm not saying that it's not still random, but like, random yeah. things repeated consistently, like, you know, brings up the average.
I just don't know in 100 turns if like using two on one round is much different than using one on one round and one on another round. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah. Anyway, for now we'll allow it. If it starts to feel broken or dumb, we may revisit it. But all right, okay. Tez.
So I'm gonna change my mind. I'm not gonna be mindless. I'll attack the horse that has a rider, but I'm throwing the bomb at the horse.
You still get to kill a horse.
Yeah, pull out one of my little bombs, and I a 19 total. I'm assuming that hits.
That hits. Roll that damage.
Horse tick. 3 points of fire, mm-hmm. 1 point of splash damage onto the rider, and then persist that.
Persistent, yeah, as you launch this vial and you see just poof, and the horse is like backs up. I'm gonna have the rider take a check. He does manage to stay on the horse, but he's like also screams and he's just like on fire, like fucking fantasy ghost rider, just trailing the wagon at this point.
All right,
my last action, I'll throw it.
All right, remember to take that negative five.
Minus four for him, probably, because it's...
Minus four.
Thrown.
Multiple attack penalty.
Map.
So 15.
15 total?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is close. Let me double check. That is going to just miss.
Damn. All right, but it hits the guy, right? Because I was aiming for the horse's head. The horse hits the dude.
It just flies and like hits the wall of the canyon and... lets out this plume of fire, and he's just like, what the hell?
I think it does splash damage if it's like within 5 of their AC still.
Oh, really?
I'm like pretty sure, like, even if you miss, as long as it's like
yeah, there is splash, but I'm not sure how splash.
Well, basically it's like you would take splash damage if it landed within 5 feet of you. So if you miss their AC by like 5 or less, or I think something like that, they still take the splash damage.
Yes, that is actually, that is accurate. Zach is our ringer, so I trust him, but I did look it up, confirm the same thing. He does take the splash damage, actually.
So 1 point of splash.
Point of splash. As when he screams, what the hell? You see just like a little bit of flame like lick him, kind of burn off like part of his hair. All right. Is that your turn, Taz?
I will then jump down back into the box.
Back into the box. All right. Okay. So that is the end of the round. Everybody who is piloting, go ahead and roll that check. I think I get to roll 2 of them this round. Guys, you are not going to want me to roll these checks for you.
That is what's
failures.
This is my first.
This is a D20.
Yeah, just a flat straight D20. Yep.
12.
Okay, so you succeed. Zach, again, like, or sorry, Taldir, you're kind of like turning in to avoid the wall of this canyon and just like scrape it. You hear like the wood kind of like giving under the stone. It takes 3 more points of damage. Michelle, similarly, like a splinter of wood just flies off from the siding of this wagon and like scares a horse who kind of diverts, hits a stone, jumps, and you can kind of feel that it's starting to degrade a little bit, but not bad. You only took 2 points of damage, or the wagon only took 2 points of damage, and we are back to the top.
Wait, I also take 2 points of damage?
Sorry, just the wagon. But you did get enough collective points so that you do... You're kind of like racing through this. You come out of the slot canyon into like this clear desert landscape. There's this small drop off. Everybody go ahead and roll an acrobatics check.
When you say acrobatics,
you
like,
what are you really meaning? Like,
what specifically are we trying to do here?
So you come out of the canyon and there's about a 2-foot ridge that drops into soft sand from the relatively stony floor of the canyon itself. You are trying to hold on, to stay on the wagon without taking damage.
Uh-huh. That feels like, to me, like I could make that check.
To you.
Like I could make that check based on my strength. I'm not even asking for athletics. I'll roll a raw strength check over acrobatics.
No, you know, it makes sense. You're holding on for dear life. I will give you whichever you are better at. Are you riding the bull or are you just clutching the ocean handle?
Okay, so I can use athletics is
sure.
What I heard there?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't need it anyways. 27.
That's a 12 for me. Amorous.
13.
How much?
13.
13?
25.
25. Okay. So, Amorous and Wesley. Amorous or Wesley, you would be in front. So, as your wagon comes off, you, like, jump and kind of just probably, like, hit the back of your head. You end up taking 1 point of damage as are impacted by the beam behind you. Similarly, Amorous, as you like go in, maybe you get like unsteady and actually manage to just catch yourself, but you put your palm against the wall of the canyon while it's moving, and you take 3 points of damage while you're riding yourself up. Each of these wagons, the boom, the boom, the boom, ball from this small but existent drop off. You hear the like creak and strain of the tires, and the wagons slow as they enter the softer sand. Everybody, you see from the sand around you, these black dots begin to emerge and like fill the air. As they become clear, it is an entire nest of sand hornets. And they begin to buzz and swirl around you. Everybody go ahead and make... This one is going to be an acrobatics check.
Okay. But hear me out here. What if
you can't punch the wasps away?
No, but I can run like hell.
But 25
religion frames. Because I'm praying they don't sting me.
This one's a flat acrobatics. What do you
19
got?
19 for Tez.
19, 20 plus for you, Amorous.
Yeah, 25.
25.
Rolling fucking rocks. 18. Natty 17.
23, 18. All right, so everybody actually passes. I rolled incredibly well on the damage. but you all only take half, so that's 6 points of damage as the wasps, like, move around you, stinging and attempting to protect their den. You notice that the individuals following you have kind of, like, pulled back. And as you kind of move across this sand... Oh, that's convenient.
So they're slowing down?
As you kind of move across that sand, you are flanked once more by these riders, although there are only four now. Different than before, as if this attack has been coordinated against you. And they begin to approach, coming from where they were resting and laying in wait on the side of the Slot Canyon. You enter...
Keep thinking you're saying Slot Canyon, but also...
What is it really supposed to be?
No.
Nice.
Got him.
Sorry, I got distracted by something on my character sheet. The wasps are gone now?
On your character sheet. Yeah, you kind of, as you escape the nest, they remain behind. Their only real purpose was protecting the nest, which you inadvertently had landed upon.
Gotcha, okay. So no wasps for new bandits.
Right, and as the bandits begin to flank you, you now are attempting to cross a dry riverbed, and you hear, like, the dwarf from the middle cart shout out, "Ordinarily, we'd put down planks and make the crossing carefully. We didn't have time!" And from the front, you just hear, "Hyah!" as the old man continues to drive his wagon. Go ahead. We're back to the top of the order. And that puts us with Wesley.
Okay, so would I have to devise a stratagem again?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Also, right. For your devise a stratagem, I looked at your character sheet. It's the same to hit, regardless of whether you do devise a stratagem or not, because your intelligence is the same as your dex. But you do have a flat plus one to your damage, because you have a plus one string. And there's some other neat things about devise a stratagem that come into play. Like, if you're successful on it, you can do recall knowledge, which gives everyone a plus one when they attempt to hit that target. Stuff like that.
Oh,
cool.
So. Oh, well. Nice. Yeah, I always like to imagine when somebody's using devise a stratagem. Have you ever seen that old, like, Sherlock Holmes movie starring Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of old.
Yeah.
Kind of how I always think about it. Guy, it's got to be, what, 25 years old at this point?
No.
Like 2011.
It was made while Zach was alive.
Yeah. Yeah, because Jude Law was in it.
Zach died?
Came out after he was born.
Came out after he was born. I like that you said because Jude Law is in it. Like, I think Jude Law is even older than Robert Downey Jr.
I just feel like Jude Law stopped acting for a little bit.
And it's when he was relevant.
Yeah. I am going to use a hero point.
Oh, that's right, we're playing a game.
Using that guy. That dice is in jail. Alright.
RDJ is older than Jude Law.
Can I use another?
For now, we're going to let you use as many as you want. I know the rule is... one per roll, but I'd frankly rather you not have them when you go unconscious anyway, so go ahead.
I'll need to do it, because otherwise it helps a one.
Ooh.
Yes. 16 plus... Oh, it's just... When I do devise a stratagem, it's my d20 plus...
Plus your to hit, so plus 7 for you.
Plus 7. Okay.
Yeah. With your short sword, I assume you're using your short sword.
It's the guy right next to me. No, I was going to use my bow and arrow.
Perfect. So you'd have to take an action to...
You'd have to take an action to stow or drop your... Well, you can drop your short sword as a free action, or you can sheath it for an action. Then you would have to draw your crossbow. And then you would have to shoot. So you couldn't devise a stratagem.
Well,
or,
no,
you could if you drop your short sword, yeah.
Yeah, which would just be in the wagon, so.
Yeah, I'll do that one.
Okay, so you drop the short sword, draw the bow, line up your aim, and make the shot. That was what total?
16 plus 7.
Plus 7. Plus 6 for your crossbow, sorry.
Yeah.
Plus 6.
Either way, that's a hit. Roll damage.
Is it a crit?
Not a crit. Not quite.
Ooh, 6.
6 total?
6 plus... Yeah, just 6. It's just 1d8.
Cool. Did you roll your... Oh, is strategic strike its own action?
No.
No.
It's like... Yes and no. It's if you use devise a stratagem, then when you make the strike, you do it use strategic strike action. That's how.
So you could take the bonus d6, although in this circumstance, you wouldn't need it. If you haven't figured out, these guys have 6 hit points. So you do manage to take... which one were you shooting at again? I think all of them should be in your range, so...
This dumb guy right here.
Yeah, this guy's probably the... right choice. But yeah, you just like lean over and to your left, you release the crossbow bolt, catch him probably just like right under the chin, and you see like the blood stream for a moment before he loses consciousness and just falls from the saddle.
I like to hold my hand up in the air, just like victory. I don't say that, but that's what's my posture.
Yeah. You don't ruin it by saying something lame. You just do the cool thing. all right. That is Wesley's turn. Amaris, you are up.
You know, if it worked before, why not do it again? Well, actually, Gravity Weapon is still active. Because it's a spell and it lasts for a minute. So I'm going to... let go of the reins.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take a shot at this guy up to the front right of me.
Okay.
And I'm going to let her rip.
All right.
Natural 20. For a 27.
Natural 20. You fart so hard.
Yeah.
Did I misunderstand what let it rip means?
What? No. Yeah, I got it.
Natural 20. All right, go ahead and roll your damage. All however many dice that is.
11 points of damage.
11 points of damage is, again, you are just methodically taking down these raiders. You hear one of them, one of the two remaining ones, shout to the other one and just say, like, this isn't worth it. The other one's gonna just like shout back, like, the boss will be furious if we don't bring it down. Go ahead. I believe you still have actions. Anything you want to do?
Let me... I'll take the raids back up.
Okay. Great. And if that is your turn, then I believe it is Taldir's turn. Taldir, what
turn.
Are you doing?
Nature check to take the reins, or is that not how that...
Nature check on the drive, yeah. And okay. That'll lower your target DC at the end of the round.
So we're still moving. We haven't stopped.
Yeah, you're still moving. Like, the horses are just, like, pulling and struggling to get you through the soft sand.
This is really not Taldir's vibe. Not really where he shines.
Yeah.
These
guys are just getting picked off. No one's gotten close enough to you. I thought they were going to, like, do things to your wagons, try to break them down.
Yep. What kind of things?
Are any of them within 30 feet of me?
Kind of thing you don't tell your Wainwright about. 30 feet of you. Let's see. I'm going to see what the map says real quick. Map says 45. I'm going to give a... Well, what are you trying to do?
Just throw a javelin, if nothing. Otherwise, I'm just going to delay, really, because me taking the reins doesn't do anything, and I don't suspect that they're going to, like, get close enough to melee them.
Yeah, this is not an exact map. It's really just an approximation to give you guys an idea of where things are. I'll let you do it, but I'm going to give them a plus one AC bonus.
All right. Show me the money.
How much money did you get?
Yeah, I'll just...
Why'd you slump so much?
Yeah, I'll just hang out.
You sunk into your seat there.
I'll just hang out.
Was it a crit?
No. Did you crit? No. Not succeed or failure. Just a classic 12.
Oh.
Classic.
Yeah. It would have hit if I were in melee, because
if it
then
weren't for those pesky kids.
I would have had an extra plus 3.
Oof. Oof, which still would not have gotten you there right now, but it would have been less embarrassing. Yeah, you toss the javelin, it lands in the sand. I imagine it probably just stands straight up like the American flag on the moon, because this is soft river sand, so... But the carts continue on. Is there something else you would like to do in the moment? This really is not Taldir's space to shine.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I will ready an action. Like, if they do get close, I'll shield bash them, even with the map. Like, because I have two more actions, so I may as well. But, yeah, otherwise, that's all I got.
Okay, awesome. That is Taldir's turn. Taz, you are up.
All right. How far until that gap?
The one behind you, or what are you talking about?
The
riverbed.
He shouted, "Yeah, the riverbed that he said we put plank."
Oh, right. I would say you guys are all probably in the riverbed by now.
Oh, okay. So we just fucking went in there. Just okay.
Yeah, didn't really have a choice at this point. Horses are pulling you, but
yeah.
It's not so great.
I'm gonna grab the reins from Amaris, and I'm gonna just like pull hard left and just try to ram this guy right here.
All right, go ahead and roll the attack. Add your nature bonus.
Thirteen.
13. So that is not against the bandit's AC. That is against the horse's AC. Which. So 21.
I'm trying to go horse. Yeah, horse to horse. No.
How much?
13.
13. Okay. So that's
13.
That is going to hit. Go ahead and roll the. I believe it is a 2d6.
All right. Damn. 10.
10 total, yeah. So the horse attempts to, like, skirt away from you, and as it does, its feet get tripped up in the soft sand. It tumbles, sending the rider just, like, head over heels into the desert. That is a success. You have eliminated this target. Is there something else you would like to do?
I'm just going to start laughing. Like, did you see that, Amaris? I'm going to try to straighten up, and then I'm going to start getting ready. I can't ram another one from here, right? Like, with my last action?
No, I think you'd be too far at this point, because you kind of pulled off that direction.
Okay, well, I'm just going to start making it very clear that I'm going to ram this other horse, and maybe that'll make the guy fuck off.
Hey, I'm coming for you next.
Yeah, I was like, just mushing and just making a sharp right turn, like just, you know, just changing directions.
I'm not stuck in here with you. You're stuck in here with me.
I'm going to kill that fucking horse.
Yeah,
all right. We are at the bottom of the round, so everyone who is currently driving, I think it's just Taz, go ahead and roll that check.
No one has. Oh, they have drivers. I thought they were just letting that shit go. I was, holy shit.
I trust you, horses.
We have chauffeurs.
Oh, fuck. It's no bonuses?
No bonus.
Three.
So not too bad, because you haven't really failed before. So you do end up, I imagine, like, as it's trying to pull, you see the ropes on the bridles kind of, like, start to pull apart as some of the equipment is straining under the effort required to pull this wagon through a dry riverbed. But it does stay in order. Taldir, your driver actually is doing a fantastic job the first time ever. And everything went fine. And my two best rolls tonight are in your favor. I'll never play with these dice again. All right. So you do manage to pull through the dry riverbed. And as you do, the last bandit kind of peels away. He doesn't think it's worth it. He's seen all of his friends die. He's heard the screams of incinerated men from inside the canyon. The whatever sound a horse makes when you cut its head off. And he's just not having it. He's not feeling it.
As I see him pulling off, I'll be like, yeah, I'll start flipping him off. But I'm flipping the horse off, not him.
No, I'm just going to kind of grab him by the, like, the back of the jacket just to make sure he's not going to fucking fall off because he's so excited about it. It's like, buddy, you showed him.
Start turning the cart to chase after him.
You're not getting away from me.
Like, that guy's fine. He's just doing his job. But fuck that horse. Yeah. So as combat comes to an end, you do travel for a short time more before the wagon leader kind of turns to you, Taldir, and he's going to say, it's getting late. We're going to stop for the night, check the gear, make sure nothing suffered too much damage. May need to rearrange the weight load on some of these wagons. Ensure that we can get into town in the morning, but hell of a show. And he's going to kind of approach each of you. He's just going to be like, I apologize for that, Miss Nixon, but I appreciate your aid and help. I undertook on the governor's behalf to deliver you to Hope's embrace, and well, I hope you won't hold the incident against me.
Well, I hope you'll embrace the opportunity to... I don't know where I was going with that. I was just getting Hope's embrace into the sentence.
Sounded like Taldir was going to say something cool. I was ready for it.
I thought it was going to be super cool. Then
it wasn't.
Turned out lame. Super duper lame.
All right.
Just whispered into the distance.
I was going to put my thumbs down. Just...
Not everybody knows how to do everything, guys.
Somehow that was lamer than what you didn't say.
I'm just going to be giggling fucking back there.
Well, What's in these fucking carriages that we almost all died for?
It sounds like everybody's kind of worked up. A lot of excitement in the room. I understand. Harrowing event. No, what's in the wagon's just
heroin.
A lot of goods. Yeah, just Straight black tar.
Damn.
There's what?
No, a lot of goods for the city. There are many things that you can't make out here. Frankly, you know, keeping people alive out here, well, I doubted it would ever be worth it, but seems to have come around. Anyway, I don't know why they would be after us, except they're after everybody these days. Well, I'd like for you all to join me at my campfire, if you would, this evening, as thanks for heroic efforts.
Are we making camp?
Yeah, I'd wanna take some time to check the horses, check the wagons, make sure all the equipment's still in good standing, and then, you know, we'll get back on the road. First light should be in town, maybe a half day journey.
Nice.
Right on.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good.
We'll join you for dinner, or at least I will.
Oh, good. Good. One RSVP. The rest of you wait and sees, or...
I'll be there.
Yeah. Do you have ale?
We can go back and get one of those horses and just chop it up.
I was just thinking
we're not
that.
Great minds think alike, Wesley.
Do you have ale?
Yes. Yes. I never travel without it.
Perfect.
I have a pretty serious problem, but...
I get the feeling we're gonna like show up to the fire and he's just gonna be in like a robe and nothing else, laying on like a bearskin rug lightly stroking it. I wanted to thank you properly for saving my life.
Save me.
The rug, come on now. He didn't invite us over so he could stroke himself off.
It's not Louis C.K. It's just like, now I have to find a robe. So they spent some time checking out the equipment, making sure the horses are healthy. Everything seems to be relatively good. And as night descends, you know, you guys kind of gather around the fire. And as you're kind of like passing around, you know, like just these like Boda bags that are full of ale and mead, some wine. There's like four or five of them making the circle. It's you, the dwarf from before, Falk Cloudfang, the old man who was driving the lead wagon, and a couple of other people. But is there anything that you want to do in that moment before we move on?
I mean, like, what do we know? Like, well, I assume our characters don't, but like, what's the... why are we here? Why are we protecting this wagon? Why are we going to Hope's Embrace?
Yeah, this is an interesting moment to kind of create some backstory meta-narrative. I mean, we all heard Wesley's reason for being here. And Taz... or... this is where trying to stay in-game gets a little funny. Sammy and I had discussed... he is currently in the employment of a Dr. Bertinonel from Hope's Embrace, who sent him along to ensure that the correct supplies were gathered. Amaris was hired sort of as a favor, and also because, you know, he's been in town for a little while to protect the caravan on its journey and to keep his friend Taz safe. Taldir... we didn't really set something up, but I know that Taldir is in town because he had heard some rumors, which piqued his particular interest.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I half forgot, half was not sure if that was the reason we were on this caravan, like those reasons that we discussed, so we can edit all of that out because Taldir would know why he had decided to join the caravan.
Yeah. Although it is, you know, I think good to backfill some of that, right? Like, you can't always be playing forward, so sometimes it's nice to insert motivation as we find it.
Hmm.
But other than clarifying, is there anything that you would like to do?
Sit down. I'm just going to start I'm going to start crafting some stuff. I'm going to take the remainder of my bombs.
As you're kind of working, Falk's going to lean over and just be like, "We don't get a lot of goblins this far out.
You are really close to me right
now." As he says it, I want to kind of get, like, without saying anything and pretty subtly, I just kind of want to get, like, in a defensive, like, kind of like, I don't like the way he's saying it to him. But like, subtly. I'm not trying to start shit.
Yeah. I'm just an old man, so I don't say things the best way. But no, I've got no problem with goblins. I know some people have their issues, whatever, but no, I've lived a good life. I went to New York City once.
I know some people are...
You're one of the good ones.
Yeah. I'm one of the good ones.
I've got no issue with your kind.
Your people? I don't mean your people. I just mean people like... what I mean... Would you like some dinner? Also, what are you working on? It's kind of cool looking.
I call it a boomstick.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does it play loud music? Or?
No. It's dangerous. It's what did this to me, and I'm going to point at my face.
Oh.
But I got it under control now, so, yeah.
Well, yes, people often say that words are more dangerous than any weapon, but in my experience,
not
weapons.
True. Yes, not true.
Weapons really do make the best weapons. Believe it or not.
Believe it or not.
It's fascinating.
Fire causes the most damage, honestly. It's crazy.
Yes. Yes. Of course, right. And you, young man, it's... Well, I noticed you're defensive of your friends. Is this a relative?
I can't stop thinking that Charles is going to go somewhere weirdly sexual with it. Like, I just something about the way he approaches the conversation makes me think he's going to take it to a weird sex place. I couldn't help but notice your firm body.
Well, not now.
Just be like,
yeah, he's my brother.
Ooh. All right, very impressive today. Very good work. Need a shoulder rub. Kind of like for you to be. No, we'll eat first.
I like to get really close to the guy. You said you had ale?
Oh, yes. He's gonna, like, take one of those bags from, like, the person sitting directly next to him, and he's gonna, like, pull it out of it. Give me that! Hand it to you. Drink as much as you like. We have plenty. I don't travel without it.
Just walk away, not even acknowledging anything he said. I'll just grab it and walk.
He's just gonna cough and be like, "That blood, or you know what? We'll figure it out when we get home." But no, what? How do you two find yourselves into each other's company? It's an odd pair, you know.
And are you looking for a third, or
bit of an odd couple, if you will?
He's been my brother as long as I can remember.
Oh.
Yep.
A bit older than... You know what? That's fine. I don't... Yes, of course.
About that food.
Yes, and he calls, and he's just going to be like, stew for my companions. Anyway, at first light, we will get back on the road. Hopefully, it's the last of the trouble we'll have with bandits. It's been a terrible amount of activity out here in the desert. You know, with wealth comes problems. Am I right?
Yeah, you know, yeah.
I kind of shrug like I've never had that problem.
Well, of course, good. He's going to take like one more long pull from the bag that he's holding and then offer it to one of the three of you.
I'll take it and then just kind of hang on to it for a second and just and then pass it on to Taz.
That's good. Well, you know what they say. A flagon of mead a day makes a growing boy grow. It's an old saying where I'm from.
I'm going to just chug very sloppily. Slop. Is that a word? Like just ale coming out, wasting a lot of it. Just yeah. Chooping it.
Believe it is?
Chooping. Yeah. So Taz just chugs mead from this, again, like lamb skin sack.
And then I'll start eating the sack after it's empty.
Just like chewing at the leather, like, yeah. You're a braver man than I am. As night descends and people begin to settle, campfire kind of waning, Taz, you're feeling the mead, your head's a little light. You kind of turn. There's a noise, something in the desert that draws your attention for a moment, and when you turn back, standing inside of the fire is the image of a small goblin girl wreathed in flames. You can see her skin is beginning to, like, melt and sag under the heat. She's just kind of looking at you with wide-open, indifferent eyes. Like a bubble begins to form on the flesh of her arm and then pop. And that's our show. Join us next week as we roll bravely on.
Good night.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night.